In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Joyous feast day. Last night, at the great Vesper service, at the end of the Apostolica hymns, we sang very joyfully, for the first time since before the Feast of Pascha, the wonderful hymn to the Holy Spirit that we call, O Heavenly King. O Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who art everywhere present and fillest all things, treasury of blessings and giver of life, come and abide in us and cleanse us from every impurity and save our souls, O good one. This prayer has a great special place in the life of the church. We begin all of our prayers in the church for the most part of the year with this prayer to the Holy Spirit. It is an invitation by each one of us to welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives and into our midst. Before he ascended in glory, Jesus Christ told his apostles that they should remain together in Jerusalem and wait for what he called the promise of the Father. And it says in the first chapter of the Acts of the Holy Apostles that we read this morning that the apostles and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the women, it says, continued together in one accord in prayer and supplication. They gathered together as one. They gathered together in unity, as Father Alexander spoke of in his sermon last week, as being the great prayer, the great high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be one, that they may be unified together as one in the Spirit. So there they were. They were awaiting the Holy Spirit. And while they awaited the Holy Spirit, they prepared themselves for his reception by prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication are the means by which the Holy Spirit becomes available to us and the means by which we become vessels worthy to contain the Holy Spirit and to keep him. Now the disciples were gathered together, it says, in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. And tongues of fire appeared and rested upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, the Church of Christ on earth was born. It was its birthday. Indeed, the high priestly prayer of Jesus that we heard about last week in the Gospel was answered today at this moment on Holy Pentecost. Jesus had prayed to the Father that they should be one, even as he and the Father were one. And he said to his disciples elsewhere, if you love me, keep my commandments, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another paraclete. Paraclete is a Greek word which doesn't translate very well in just one simple word, but basically it means a comforter, a counselor, a consoler, and even an advocate. And Jesus says he prays the Father, and the Father will send us this comforter that he may abide with us forever. So we see that the Holy Spirit is really the answer to the prayer of Jesus to the Father, the prayer of the Son to the Father. And he indeed is the answer of the Father to the Son. St. John tells us elsewhere in his Gospel that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter whom the Father will send in Christ's name, who will teach us all things. The Holy Spirit is really the peace of Christ. He is the peace of Christ which Christ himself promised his apostles when he said to them, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. So the Holy Spirit is all these wonderful things of grace. But at the same time, he is often the most forgotten part, the most forgotten third of the Holy Trinity. How often do we sit down and say, I'm going to say a prayer to the Holy Spirit? We pray to the Father often. We pray to the Son often. But how often do we pray to the Holy Spirit? Even in our own church books, there's only one or two prayers directed directly to the Holy Spirit himself. One is the O Heavenly King, and another, there's a prayer that's in some, but even not all, prayer books that's done as part of evening prayers. So the Holy Spirit is often, unfortunately, forgotten in our prayers, but it is understandable to a certain way, because we can all visualize and conceptualize what a father is. We have no problem with that. All of us know what a father is. All of us know what a male child is, what a son is. So we have no problem visualizing that and forming a relational bond with that. But I will admit personally that it is often difficult for us to form that same kind of an idea of a relationship with the Holy Spirit as it is for the Father and the sons. And even the words that we are given in Holy Spirit in the Holy Scripture to reveal the Holy Spirit to us don't always form this idea of a relational bond. It's kind of hard to think about falling in love with a spirit, or in the old days, as we used to say, a ghost, the Holy Ghost. I know that, you know, what you hear as a child stays with you forever. And I know growing up in my youth, I heard of in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And what went through my mind was an old man with a beard, a younger man with a beard, and a sheet with two eyes cut out of it. You know, so it's not the same kind of a thing, you know, like Casper, the friendly ghost. You don't have that same relational element with the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, I think that's because our own English language does not quite put the Holy Spirit across to us. So we find it hard to love a spirit, so to say. And even other ways that he has described in the Holy Scriptures don't necessarily talk about what a relationship with that would be. He comes down to us in the form of a dove, a bird. Now the bird is not exactly one of the most cuddly animals. Many people have birds as a pet. But I would think I would have a better time understanding it if he came in the form of a dog. Or in my case, a cat, because I'm a great cat lover, as anybody who sees my Facebook page. I am the original Facebook cat person. Pictures and videos and whatnot on there. So, but the Holy Spirit, we are seeing, comes to us in the form of a dove. Or fire, or wind, or as we've spoken of the last several weeks, of water. And all those things are wonderful, but they are not personal in the form of a father or a son. So we often forget about the Holy Spirit. But St. Silouan of Mount Athos tells us that the Holy Spirit, just as air is to the human being, so the Holy Spirit is to those who want to live a Christian life. You can't have one without the other. And just as we cannot live without air, whether we are thinking about it or not, so too we cannot even begin to say that Jesus is Lord unless we are graced by the Holy Spirit. So that brings us back to today, to the Feast of Holy Pentecost. Holy Pentecost in the Old Testament was a feast that was held by the Jewish people 50 days after they celebrated Passover. It was a Jewish feast where they recognized the sealing of the covenant that Israel had with Almighty God, which was formed on Mount Sinai. The covenant where he said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. We go back to the book of Exodus, and we are told that on that Pentecost day, the original Pentecost day, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in a fire. And the whole mountain quaked greatly, and a covenant was formed, a law was written in stone, and the people feared Almighty God. But on this new Pentecost, the one we celebrate today, 50 days after Pascha, which is the true Passover, the Passover of Christ from death unto life, we also find the elements of wind and fire present once again, but this time there was a great peace and not fear. In fact, fear was abolished and destroyed on this feast day, for the apostles had been cowering in fear for the past 50 days. Even when Christ was in their presence, they were still nervous and afraid of being caught by the Jews and by the Romans. But on this day, when they received the Holy Spirit in wind and fire, they became fearless and began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ openly, and they were heard by everyone, regardless of what race or what language they spoke. And the law was written this time by the Holy Spirit upon their hearts and not upon stone tablets. Whereas at the Tower of Babel, mankind was divided by languages and estranged from one another, on Pentecost Day, on this Pentecost Day that we celebrate today, the Holy Spirit created a people of God from every race and from every nation. It became Catholic. It became universal, which is one of the four pillars of the church that we proclaim in the Creed every Sunday. St. Paul tells us in the Epistle to the Romans that we, though many throughout the earth, have become one body in Christ, and this is accomplished through the Holy Spirit. And nowhere is this more evident even than in our own small church community here today, which is named prophetically, I believe, for St. Simeon, the new theologian, who was an obscure Middle Ages Byzantine monk whom not many people had even heard of, but who loved the Holy Spirit, and he taught his followers that the Holy Spirit could be received and was available to each and every one of us if we would only seek to make ourselves a perfect vessel by which to receive him. And I believe that we as a parish named in honor of St. Simeon ought to always be striving, more so than even others, we should always be striving to fall in love and to receive the Holy Spirit in our midst. So here we are gathered together today in Birmingham, Alabama, St. Simeon the New Theologian Orthodox Church. Here we are in one accord, united in one thing only, and that is the unity of our Orthodox faith. Here we are, young and old, blue-collar, white-collar workers, male and female. We come from all different countries. We are united in one thing only, and that is the Orthodox faith and the love that we have through the Holy Spirit for the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Here we are, my brothers and sisters. We may not be Parthians or Medes or Elamites or from Mesopotamia or all those other places that we heard this morning in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. But here we are, Americans, Romanians, Greeks, Arabs, Africans, Germans, Cubans, Latvians, Ukrainians, Russians, Irish, English, and even if you are like me, you've got a little Choctaw blood flowing through your veins as well. And here we are with all these different races, but those distinctions disappear. Those distinctions disappear when we walk through the doors of those churches and we see the priest lift his hands and begin that liturgy with those words, "O Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth." And then we step into the kingdom of God as we begin the liturgy. Every liturgy for us is indeed another Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes to us and brings us together to Jesus Christ. Before the consecration, the priest raises his hands and he says three times, "O Lord, who at the third hour did send down thy most holy Spirit upon thine apostles, take him not from us, O good one, but renew him in us who pray unto thee." And then right immediately before the consecration, he looks at the gifts on the altar. The deacon points to those gifts with his orarium, and the priest says these words, "Again, we offer unto thee, O Father, this reasonable worship, and we ask thee, and we pray thee, and we supplicate thee, send down thy Holy Spirit upon us, and then upon these gifts here offered, and make them into the body and blood of our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ." St. John of Kronstadt says to us that the Holy Liturgy of the Church is the life and the voice of the Holy Spirit in her midst, and her worship and prayers are the breathing of the Holy Spirit. And St. Seraphim of Sarov tells us that on Pentecost, God the Father, through Jesus Christ, sent down to the apostles that breath of life which Adam had lost back in paradise. And he gave the grace of the Holy Spirit back to Adam once again through the men and women of the apostles and the disciples there. And through them, he gives them to each one of us who are baptized in his name and sealed with the chrism of the Holy Spirit upon our bodily members. Their grace, he says, is so great, it is so necessary, and it is so life-giving that it cannot be withdrawn from us. In other words, my brothers and sisters, without the Holy Spirit, there is no church. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no Christ born of a virgin. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no Christ walking this earth. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no mystical body of Christ in the church. And without the Holy Spirit, there is no Eucharistic body of Christ on our altars to be distributed to each one of us. All these things exist because of the grace of the All-Holy Spirit. So today, my brothers and sisters, let us celebrate this feast of Pentecost as the apostles did, by uniting ourselves together in prayer, in one body, waiting for the Lord, waiting for the promise of the Father. O Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, come and abide in us, and cleanse us from every impurity, and save our souls, O good one. Come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A joyous feast day to you all.